Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The Washington Post reports federal authorities plan to move the trial of the alleged Tucson gunman to San Diego. Judge Larry Burns of San Diego was appointed to hear the case last week after Arizona judges recused themselves, given the fact that state's chief federal judge is one of those killed in the attack. The defendant's attorney is also based in San Diego. Oakland's nearly new police chief, Anthony Batts, could be headed to San Jose. He's confirmed he's one of two finalists for the job of top cop there just over a year after he came north to Oakland from Long Beach. Batts' departure would be considered a blow to Oakland, where he's proved popular and presided over a drop in serious crime rates. But he's had to watch the OPD shrink by about 150 officers. San Jose's police department has also struggled with budget cuts and a reputation for racial profiling, but it boasts twice the number of cops and a quarter of the homicides. Compton in South L.A. County has a proud place in the history of civil rights. Once deeply segregated, it was one of the first cities west of the Mississippi to be governed entirely by African Americans in the 1970s. But in a courtroom tomorrow, Compton will defend itself against a civil rights lawsuit brought by Latino residents who say they deserve a place in the city's government. L.A. Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark reports as part of our series Governing California.
If you stand outside Compton's city council chambers and look through the glass doors, you can see a giant mural in the lobby.
Portraits of African-American elected officials.
But Joaquin Avila is troubled by what's not depicted.
I think it's a very incomplete picture. Basically, we're invisible.
By we, Avila means Compton's Latinos, who made up just a small part of the city when he was growing up here in the 1960s. They're now more than 40% of the electorate. Several have run for city office over the years, and yet, Avila says,
there had never been a Latino on the city council. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you have a problem.
Avila thinks it could take a civil rights lawyer to solve it, which he happens to be. And so he recently sued Compton on behalf of three Latinos under the California Voting Rights Act. They want to restructure city council elections to give more opportunity to Latino candidates. To understand how, consider the city council campaign of one former candidate, Pedro Payan.
Well, it all comes together. The mixers. He's a maestro today. He's the main baker. This is our oven.
As he tours me around his Mexican bakery, Compton's first, he tells me that in the early 1990s, he almost won a council seat. He had lots of open support in the Latino parts of town where he lived and worked. But in the African-American neighborhoods, those who backed him did it discreetly.
And they told me flatly, I cannot walk with you. My community would make me feel like a traitor for voting other than African-American.
This is what political scientist Lisa Garcia Bedoya calls racially polarized voting. She teaches at UC Berkeley. And she says, despite President Obama and hopes of a post-racial democracy, ethnic divides still play out in local elections across the state among blacks, whites, Latinos, and Asians for lots of reasons, history, pride, and prejudice.
If you can show that along racial lines, people are voting in particular ways and that that's consistent, that's the place where you need some sort of remedy so that the folks who are continually losing have some ability to be represented.
In cities with racial polarization, where council members are chosen at large, it can be nearly impossible for minorities to win. But Garcia Bedoya says, first in the American South and later in California cities like Watsonville and San Francisco, a switch to district elections has helped open the doors of government to minorities of all colors. And it could do the same in Compton.
I think the fundamental difficulty is how do you honor the history of the African-American community in that city, while at the same time understanding that the city demographics have changed?
Honorable Mayor, City Council, staff, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Benjamin Hollyfield, and I've resided in Compton for over 48 years.
At a recent Compton City Council meeting, a silver-haired man steps to the podium to make a public comment.
And you know, next month is Black History Month.
Almost everyone in the room is black, including him, the entire City Council, the mayor, and most of the audience. At a break in the meeting, Hollyfield remembers a time when these meetings looked very different.
I used to go to the city council here when it was all white, and they'd run me out of there. They said, we're going to go out to closed session. So I leave.
Then when I leave, I find out later they came right back out and started the meeting over again.
He says years of political organizing and a severe bout of white flight slowly changed that dynamic. Compton City Attorney Craig Cornwell says the same thing will happen for Latinos eventually.
We can always strive to do better, and that includes racial relations.
As city attorney, Cornwell will be fighting the Latino voting rights suit in court tomorrow. He says the problem isn't the way elections are structured. It's the fact that only 7% of eligible citizens even vote.
Having your vote count is a tenet of this country, and what a lot of people of various ethnicities have fought for. I think what's really at issue here is increasing voter participation of all ethnicities for the city of Compton.
But voter apathy can be a vicious cycle. The Latino plaintiffs argue that the current at-large election system heightens disengagement. Though Latinos are a majority in some neighborhoods, that power is diluted in a citywide race, making it seem as though their votes never count. If the judge agrees, he could freeze Compton's upcoming city council elections until the lawsuit is resolved. That could take years. In the meantime, the people of Compton, Black and Latino, are watching their city mix and change. A longtime resident named James Hayes says he sees his children forging a new culture beyond their own Black heritage.
My 14-year-old says she wants to have a quinceañera.
That's a coming-of-age party for young women, a tradition in Mexico.
And I said, well, good, because that's California history. We live on Rancho Dominguez, so why not?
Hayes, incidentally, is an aide to one of the council members who's up for re-election this spring. That is, if the elections go forward. For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Compton.
That's the California Report for Monday, January 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. urscorp.com. The SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The SunPower Corporation, online at sunpowersolar.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.